The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 and 17. We're going to read that again. I just quoted part of it. But as I'm getting into this morning, I'd like to share with you a little bit about how I feel an urging by the Holy Spirit for us to have a corporate time of prayer and fasting again. I believe it's very, very essential to the church, to the families, to our nation.
Yes, sir.
And I believe God is urging a lot of churches to do this. A lot of believers are realizing that, you know, we need to get back to this discipline of prayer and fasting, because it builds our faith and it causes us to be able to walk in the supernatural. When you do prayer and fasting, one of the things you can expect is miracles to happen. You can expect God to speak to you. You can expect miracles to happen. You can expect a change inside of you, because you're overcoming your flesh in order to build up your spirit. Important part of our walk with the Lord. So I'm going to talk a little bit more, but we're going to start this next week. I'm going to give you a heads up so you can be feasting all week long and be prepared. You need everything in sight this week, but next week, you need to be prepared to do some fasting. Now, I'm not telling anybody exactly how you should fast, because I know some people have restrictions. Some people are able to do more than others. I'm just telling you, you need to give up something. And I want there to be some sort of a food involved with this, because food fast is really what the Bible talks about is fasting, giving up some sort of a food. So if you can just do a meal a day, or you decide for this period of time that we're going to be fasting, that you're going to give up a certain thing like coffee. I know people have done that in the past. Coke. You know, it changes their life. When you give up something to build up your spirit, it will change you. And I believe we're going to see some breakthroughs in people's lives. I think we're going to see some breakthroughs in our community. I think we're going to see some breakthroughs financially. I'm believing for that. We need financial breakthroughs.
In the name of Jesus.
In Jesus' name. We cast the debt in the name of Jesus from this church.
That's right.
And from every believer in here.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
All right, now. We speak it. Jesus taught us to speak to the mountain and tell it to be removed. Okay. Every time we speak it, then we have to also do our part. So if you're casting off debt, that means you're not going to take that credit card out and put more and more and more on it, right?
Come on, sir.
Okay, you're going to do your part. We're going to believe that God's doing a miracle, but we're going to do our part as well, expecting Him to move in a mighty way, casting those mountains out of our life, speaking to them, speaking to the spirit realm all around us. This morning, as we sat in here, the spirit realm is everywhere, and God is moving in our midst, desiring for His people to recognize the power in the spoken word.
Yes.
So that we will speak life and not death. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Those who love it will eat the fruit of it. Believe me, the power of the tongue can bring life or it can bring death. Be careful what you speak. Be careful. That's part of the spirit walk I've been talking about. An aggressive spirit walk. Somebody who is walking aggressively recognizes the power that God has given us to speak life and death. to speak life and not death.
Yes.
Galatians 5, 16 and 17. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, so I advise you to live according to your new life in the Holy Spirit. Every one of us has a new life in the Holy Spirit. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The old sinful nature loves to do evil, which is just the opposite from what the Holy Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite from what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other, and your choices are never free from this conflict. You are not going to be free from the conflict of your flesh and your spirit. Always going to be a conflict there. But you can build up your spirit in such a way that it can be victorious over your flesh. But it takes some proper discipline. We don't talk much about discipline in the church anymore. We talk a lot about grace, the grace of God. And yeah, hallelujah, we have the grace of God. God's grace is abundant. God's grace is wonderful. He renews it for us every day, every morning. It's renewed. His grace is fantastic. I love the grace of God. Amen. But we cannot just say, okay, we're under the grace of God and just live our life any way we want to. Doesn't work that way. There are some spiritual disciplines that we must walk. Praying and fasting is one of them. Reading the Word of God. Assembling ourselves together. I heard somebody that was talking about how important it is to come together as a church. They had a sermon and they called it Some Assembly Required. I thought it was great. There is some assembly required. I talk to people all the time that do not go to church but consider themselves Christians. According to the Word of God, I'm sure you can be a Christian and not assemble. But according to the Word of God, being a faithful Christian to the principles of God requires some assembly. You assemble with your brothers and sisters so that we can become stronger together. That there is faithfulness among the brethren, that we hold each other accountable, that we lift each other up and hold each other up when we go through difficult times. My goodness, when you have tragedies in your family, who do you turn to if you don't have a body of believers? I've seen it happen time and time again. These people are lost. They don't know who to turn to. And we try to reach out to them, try to comfort them, try to encourage them. But there is nothing like being able to come to a brother and just cry on his shoulder. When you go through a difficult time, I cry on this man's shoulder. And other people in here, I have difficult times in my life as well. I'm going through some pretty difficult times right now. The church is going through some difficult times. Everyone in here can probably point to a difficult situation that you have. But we're not alone in it. Not a one of us is alone. We have the Lord Jesus Christ, yes. But we have something in the flesh. People say, well, where is God when I'm going through this? I'll tell you where He is. He's right here.
Right. Come on, sir.
Right here with your brothers and sisters in Christ who reach out to you and pull you up, that encourage you and stand with you, that pray with you, and help you. But when we don't have that connection, we don't have that strength. So we got to have that connection. Listen, you know, we've had people that they come for a while, they believe in Jesus Christ, and then they just kind of fade away. And, you know, you hear all kinds of things. People say, people like to make excuses for no longer coming to church. You know, well, you know, I left and no one contacted me. Well, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But I hear that a lot. And I get tired of hearing that. They left us. We didn't leave them. And I doubt that anybody leaves this church and is not actually, somebody has made an effort to talk to them and contact them, love them, lift them up. But who left who? We're still here. We still want to be a part of people's lives. We still want to encourage. And I say, pray for those people. Lift them up. We want people to be renewed. I believe it's a time right now where people can be renewed in the Spirit. We need a revival in the land, and why not here? Let it begin in Jesus' name. It begins in the church. It begins in the believers. It begins when we recognize that, man, we have done wrong and we need to turn. Wow, I'm just getting way ahead of myself this morning. Praise God. The Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the world wants us to have and opposite of what our flesh tells us. We've talked about this. It's not a casual walk. It's not a hyper-spiritual walk. It's not a legalistic walk. What we want to talk about this morning is what it is. An aggressive spirit walk is a walk of love. It is a walk of love where we love the Lord and we love people. Now, we can say that, but are we really walking in it? Do we really love the Lord? Is He the most important thing in our life? Will we put Him first? I'll tell you, the test of whether we put God first or not is when we want something in our life and the Holy Spirit speaking to us to get it out. That's one of the first tests that you know whether you want to serve God, whether you really love the Lord or not. If the Spirit is speaking to you and you ignore it and you go your own way, you are not loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind. It happens all the time in the church. When the Holy Spirit, when we take up a special offering for somebody or something, and the Holy Spirit speaks to an individual about giving a certain amount, we say, oh, that couldn't be God. Get thee behind me, Satan. Get out of my pocket. And yet the Spirit of God is trying to speak to you. When we can't let go of our pocketbook, we prove what's more important to us. And it's not God. It's our money, and it doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter if you have billions or a widow's mite. Because God, remember, Jesus praised that widow because she gave up. She gave to God what she had. That's all God requires of you. Well, I can't give as much as somebody else. It doesn't matter. God's not asking you to give a certain amount. He's asking you to give according to what you have to give. And that means in every area of our life. It's not just finances. What are we giving up for the Lord? What are you doing today to serve Him? It's an aggressive love walk. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 through 7. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. So if we really want to show that we love God, we're going to imitate God. We're going to be His children and do His will. Imitators of God. And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. That's making reference to the sacrifices that were made in the Old Testament. Because it said that it was a sweet-smelling aroma that went up to the nostrils of God. When we serve and we walk in love and we make sacrifices to walk in love, it's like a sweet aroma to our God. It's a sacrifice. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as unfitting for the saints. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather a giving of thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, unclean person, or covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. An aggressive walk, love walk. Walk in love. Okay, now let's turn over to Corinthians. Back to Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We've already talked about this, but I think it's important that we go over it again. First Corinthians chapter 13, beginning with verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but have not love, it profits me nothing. Paul makes it very clear. The apostle is telling us, love is the divine defining characteristic of a believer. It doesn't matter how wonderful you think you are, how much faith you have. If you can move mountains, if you can speak to that mountain, say, be removed, and it's moved, and you're not doing it with a motivation of love, you are nothing in the kingdom of God. We must be motivated by love. We must recognize that the defining characteristic of a Christian walk, the first thing people should look for, the first thing I look for in believers and people who say, I am a believer in Jesus Christ, is do they love God and do they love people? It's easy to say I love God, because very few times we have to prove that. But when it comes to loving people, it becomes very obvious whether somebody really does love people or not. It becomes obvious in the way we treat our family. It becomes obvious in the way we treat our coworkers. It becomes obvious in the way that we treat people that we come in contact with on a regular basis. How do you treat the people at McDonald's? How do you treat, mostly, they're mostly pretty young people that are there working behind the counter at McDonald's. If you got somebody that's real slow, maybe they're just being trained, or maybe they just don't have the ability to do what they're trying to do. And there's a huge line at 10, 12 people because this person is incapable of being able to do their job. And you have to stand there 15, 20 minutes. That's a long time at a fast food restaurant, isn't it? Seems like forever. How do you feel toward that person? How do you treat that person when you get up there, when it's your time to order? You know, these are the kind of things that are everyday life that we have to deal with. How do you feel about the guy that pulls out in front of you? Wouldn't you like to get your hands on him? Yeah? That person, you don't care whether it's a man or a woman. You just want to wring their neck. Amen? Look, we all have those times in our lives, and we don't always handle them properly. I'm not saying that you are ungodly because you failed. I'm saying we must make sure that we don't have a constant lifestyle of hating people, of being angry with people. You know, let me just be real with you. It's been quite a long time ago. I can't remember how long ago it was. Beth was with me. And I took her to my daughter, Bethany. I took her to Kroger for something. And she went in to get it. And you know what I did? I pulled up in the no parking area. It was just one of those days. I was being more rebellious than usual. I pulled up in the no parking area. And so I was kind of in the way of some people. And one guy went by, and I didn't see exactly what he said, but I could tell he was saying something that didn't please me. And, you know, it really got to me. It riled my flesh. How dare he point out the fact that I was doing something wrong? How could he do that? So, what did I do? I saw where he parked. I got out of my vehicle, and I waited till he come to the door. And I said, "You got a problem with me?" You didn't think your pastor acted like that, did you? And I'm telling you this because this is part of my repentance. Confession. Now, I normally don't act that way. My wife will attest to that. I do have a streak of rebellion in me. There's no doubt about it, and I work on it. I'm trying not to do it, but her telling me to fasten my seatbelt doesn't help. Well, you know, the guy could see that I was irate and out of control, so he said, "No, I have no problem with you," and he went inside. So it didn't turn into anything, Brady. The guy was smarter than I was that day. Yes, amen. So what I'm really trying to convey to you this morning is we're all going to do those crazy things. And that was wrong. I know it was wrong. I was just having one of those days, and I let it get to me. I shouldn't treat that. I wished I knew, you know, I have no idea who the guy was. I wished I knew that today. I would go and apologize to him for acting so stupid. Because I can tell you this, that is one of the things that will stop you from being ignorant like that. Is when you recognize, wait a minute, you know, I should not have acted that way. So guess what I need to do? I need to go back and apologize to that person. After you've done that two or three times, you think twice before you act that way. Yeah. It's just part of that spiritual walk. Amen. So, listen, overall, I want you to know, I'm as human as you are. And we all fall down. We're going to get back up. We're either up or we're getting up. We're recognizing that there are times in our life where we don't do what we're supposed to do. But that's not really what I'm talking about here. I'm not talking about those times where we make mistakes or we even willingly step outside of the line when we shouldn't. I'm talking about a consistent lifestyle of mistreating, hating, doing evil to other people, being in the wrong. If you have a consistent lifestyle of that, I question your experience with God. Because He's working on you. He should be working on you. He should be changing those things inside of you, causing you to be a different person, a new creature in Jesus Christ, rising above those things. And if you're struggling with that kind of stuff in your life right now, you're not condemned. I'm not condemning you this morning. I'm encouraging you to know that your God is a big God. And He's going to take you and He's going to turn you into a new creature. You know, thank God. I've made great strides in areas like that. I didn't just walk up and punch the guy. You know? God is working on me, believe it or not. He's changing me, causing me to be a new creature in Him. So when I talk about walking in love, I'm talking about us recognizing that the Scripture says that this is a mandate and that this is a characteristic that must be built inside of every one of us. God gives us the ability to do it, but we have to act on that ability. He stirs inside of us the love, but we have to pick it up and allow it to mature and grow and become more inside of each and every one of us. In John chapter 15, verse 17, it says this: "These things I command you, that you love one another." That you love one another. That begins in the household of faith, that we love each other. That we're not having bickering and problems and difficulties with each other all the time. It's not, you know, this person's not trying to get one up on the other person. That we love one another. That's what this church should be all about. Loving one another. Building up one another. Encouraging one another. So that we can all grow in the Lord. Ephesians 5:2 says this: "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma." Once again, making that reference to a sweet smelling aroma. Back to that, to the sacrifices. Now here's something that we seldom take into consideration anymore in the body of Christ. And that is, are we doing something that might harm our brother or our sister in Christ? Turn with me, and I'm take too much time with this, but Romans chapter 14, back from Corinthians. The title in my Bible, maybe some of yours is the same. It says, "The Law of Love," verse 14. "I know and am convinced by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him who considers anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean." Now he's talking specifically about foods here, but it can apply to anything in our life. There are people who believe there are certain things that are wrong to do, and if you do them, you're being ungodly. Now the Bible teaches that, you know, in some cases, those people are weaker spiritually than those of us who feel like we have freedom in Jesus Christ. We don't do things that we shouldn't do because we know that it displeases God. But we have the freedom in Jesus Christ to be who we are. So in this context, he's saying, listen, there's things in your life that you may be doing that's harming another believer. Let's go on. "Yet if your brother is grieved because of your food, you are no longer walking in love. Do not destroy with your food the one for whom Christ died." Wow. We all believe that we have the freedom to eat just about anything we want to eat, correct? Most of us. I mean, there are some people in the body of Christ that believe you shouldn't be eating pork because that... And most of them that I know do not eat pork because they feel like it's nutritionally, it's not good for you. But they don't try to put that heavy load on anybody from a religious perspective. Although there are people that believe you shouldn't eat certain foods, and they believe that if you do, you're being ungodly. So what should we do? Well, if we're in the presence of someone and we know that our action would harm them spiritually, well, how should we handle ourselves? Well, I'm a spiritual giant. I can do that. No. If you are walking in love, you're going to do what's best for your brother or sister, not for yourself. So no matter what it is, if you're in their presence and you have an opportunity to make a difference in their life, positive or negative, you should do the right thing. That's love. Do what is best for them. And that doesn't matter. across the board what it is. So whether what you have freedom to do, your brother doesn't have freedom to do, don't do it in a way that it would conflict with them and cause them harm. I don't think we live this way anymore in the body of Christ. I don't think we're concerned about what anybody else thinks. I know I struggle with that. I've always been this way. And with God's help, I'm changing. But I've always had this thing, you know, I don't care whether they like it or not. I'm going to do my thing. That's not godly. That's not righteous. What I need to be thinking about is, does this harm that person? Is it going to hurt them? If it hurts them, that's not love. That's arrogance. That's spiritual pride. I don't want that in my life. And I don't believe anybody in here does. So what we need to do is make sure that we're putting our brother and sister above ourselves. Servant. See, that's the servant attitude. Let the greatest among you be the servant of all. That's what Jesus taught us. And that's what I desire for this congregation, that we walk in that kind of love so that it makes a difference in people's life. The second thing I want to talk about this morning is walk in light. Turn back to Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8, beginning with verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. An aggressive spirit walk is a walk in the light. It says you were once in darkness, but now you're in light in the Lord. And darkness, I think it's important that we take a look at that. We dissect that word just a little bit, because in the Greek, it translates skotos, and it means of ignorance, respecting divine things and human duties, and the accompanying ungodliness and immorality. The things that we do that are ungodly and immoral. What kind of things are ungodly and immoral? I think it's very important that we recognize there are things that are ungodly and immoral. In our society today, we have very little that we think of as being ungodly and immoral. But the Bible teaches something much different. There are ungodly things, and there are immoral things that we should not be partaking of. As believers in Jesus Christ, our lives need to be different. So we define ungodliness and immorality as a sin. Few people talk about sin these days. We don't talk about sin because we don't want to run people out of the church. The reality is, if we will talk about sin and say there is an answer to that sin that you have in your life, we'll draw people in. Because people will recognize that God has forgiven them. The grace of God is incredible. But you can't use the grace of God to play around with things that we're not supposed to be doing. Ungodliness in our lives. Here's what the grace of God does for you. It makes a way for you to repent of your sin and come to God. It doesn't mask your sin or cover over it. It wipes it out when we repent. Praise God that we are able to do that. And we can put it aside and we can change our lives. If we have something in our life, it's never too late to repent. And come back to the grace of God. Galatians 5:19 defines ungodliness and immorality as works of the flesh. Turn to Galatians 5:19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is very important that we see this. The list that I've just given you is about ungodly and immoral acts. And it's certainly not an exhaustive list. However, I believe that these things, these four things, can be categorized in four categories that help us to understand what he's talking about here. The first one, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. The NIV says this, sexual immorality, impure thoughts, eagerness for lustful pleasure. This one is really summed up in sexual sin. And sexual sin is a huge problem in our nation today. Since the 1950s, 1960s, America has been on a destructive sexual path. The sexual revolution has changed people's thinking about what is appropriate and what isn't appropriate. Teenage sexual promiscuity has just exploded. And it's not just teenagers. But they're the ones that are being devastated by it. According to research at Yale and Columbia University, teens, even those who pledge virginity until marriage, are just as likely to get STDs as teens who do not. Those who claim to be Christians are just as likely to get a disease because they are being just as promiscuous in sex as all the rest of them. They're thinking. The world, our society has changed their way of thinking to think that that's okay. It's all right if I do this. And God's not condemning them. God is trying to warn them. He's trying to tell them, listen, you live this kind of lifestyle and look at the consequences of it. Look how terrible it is. Other research shows that each day 8,000 teens in the United States will become infected with an STD. With more than 3 million teens becoming infected this year alone. In fact, every year, one out of six teens contacts a sexual disease, sexually transmitted disease. That's what God is crying out. Stop this, because it's destroying you. It's killing you. There's diseases that are associated with it. He wants to protect you. Living together. Not a popular thing to talk about. But you know, there was a time in our society we recognized that that was inappropriate. And if we call ourselves believers, we should not and cannot conduct ourselves in such a way. Paul said it, if you burn with lustful desire, there's an answer to that. Get married. You don't have to. Get married. Couples cohabitating together has increased by 72% in the last decade. We just do it and don't even think about it. Now listen, once again, I want to make sure everybody understands, I am not condemning you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to show you what God's Word says so that you can get things right with Him. I give people all kinds of grace. When they first come to Jesus Christ, they know Christ as their personal Savior and the couples are living together. I realize they have to learn. You have to understand what the Word of God says. So it's a time of learning and growing and being taught. But it's a time of learning and growing. And there should be a time when you grow into the truth and you recognize that these things are wrong. Marital infidelity is common. It's just commonplace. Everywhere you look, there's people having affairs. The sad thing is, it doesn't seem to be any different in the church or outside of the church. And the worst thing that happens from it, I shouldn't say the worst thing, but one of the consequences, is the divorce rate being 50%. That's not the only reason people get a divorce, but there's a huge percentage of people who are having affairs get divorces. So when we're talking about a 50% divorce rate inside and outside of the church, what are we talking about? We're talking about the church not having the mindset of Christ. You know, you have the mind of Christ. Jesus would never do that. Come on. Why are we living in the same way the world is living? Our lives should be different. The body of Christ should be different. We should recognize that these are not the ways of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I know that I'm making some of you very uncomfortable this morning. These are tough things to talk about. But I have a responsibility to preach and to teach you what the Word of God says. So that we can walk righteously before the Lord. Repent. If you are in adultery, repent. Fall on your face before the Lord. He has answers for you. He will forgive you. He will set you on the right course. If you are in any kind of sexual sin, repent. The Lord will forgive. That's His grace. But we have an obligation, and that is to repent, to turn from it. We have even gotten to the place where homosexuality is an accepted lifestyle in the United States. There was a poll taken some time ago. I don't know where it was. It may have been someplace very liberal that they took the poll. But anyhow, this is what was the outcome of the poll. 95% of the people were in favor of homosexual marriage and homosexual relationships. You know, that's their business. They can live the way they want to. Once again, I keep reiterating this. These are not words of condemnation for the homosexual. God loves the people. He hates the sin. Because the sin destroys. The sin just totally eats the person up inside. It's the sin He hates. He loves the people. And that's why He sends preachers and teachers to say, this is wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. You need to live according to the principles of the Bible. Repent and turn to God. There's answers. Glory. Next group. Well, actually, I'm going to stop right there. I left you with a pretty heavy load this morning. I realize that. I want everybody in here to know, I love you. I'm not trying to beat you up. But I believe this. Yes, please stand with me. I truly believe this, that if this nation is going to survive, the Church of Jesus Christ has to live a different kind of life than the rest of the world. We cannot have the same statistics in the church as the world proclaims to have. They don't care. It's not my responsibility to condemn them. If the world wants to be homosexual, that's their choice. If they want to have affair after affair after affair, that's their choice. They can do that. I can't condemn them for that. I can't condemn them because they don't have a regenerated spirit. They couldn't know any better than to live like animals. But the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to be renewed in the spirit. The Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to have the mind of Christ. And the mind of Christ is what causes us to think on the things of God rather than the things of the world. The Church of Jesus Christ should be able to rise above the temptations and the desires of the flesh. The Church of Jesus Christ has power in it. We got to start living with power. That's one of the reasons I want to call a congregational fast, so that we can get back to a place of power in our lives. Overcomers, we're more than conquerors. We're victorious in the name of Jesus. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. When we can live that life, the world will have no control over us. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You for Your word. It's good, it's powerful, but most important, You love Your people. Lord, we speak these things because we want people's lives to be changed. We want them to see the error and to be able to walk in truth, walk in light. That's what You want, Lord. You want us to walk in light. Today, we want to embrace that light. I call forth that light in the name of Jesus, that Your people will receive the light of Your word and know how important it is to walk an aggressive spirit walk in the light. We have light. This is not a dark path that we are walking down. It is light. Thank You for that light, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Have a wonderful day.